Welcome everybody.
欢迎大家。
阿弥陀佛。So today is, can you hear? Oh, no sutras today. Yeah. Thank you though. So today is the second part of a two-part series of talks, the title of which was Back to Basics, Early Buddhist Teachings and the Practice of Chan.
今天演讲是继续上一次讲的第二部分关于早期的佛教与禅的修行。
And this is, at least I get the impression within Chinese Buddhism, somewhat unique to Dharma Drum Mountain's approach and Shifu's approach to the Dharma, and that is the very explicit use of the early Buddhist teachings, the Agamas from the Chinese Tripitaka or the Nikayas, which are the ones translated most readily into English. As a support for an understanding and practice of the more direct and sudden Chan teachings.
据我个人的了解，用原始佛教的教义来衬托出禅宗的教法，至少在师父座下的法鼓山系列来说，是一个不是很普遍的方式来谈禅。
Something that's rather interesting about that is, Shifu, I don't know whether this was his approach from the beginning or whether it's an approach that he developed as he went along, but it's also within, in the Western Buddhist traditions that are developing now in this country, this is a similar trend that is seen in the Japanese Zen. Which is also now finding more explicit use of the Nikayas. So Master Sheng Yin was very much aware of, I think, what was useful to the modern mind, a use of this systematic teaching, a rather scientific systematic teaching of the early Buddhist sutras as a support for approaching what can be a more difficult to grasp direct principles of Chan or Zen.
用原始佛教的教义来衬托出各教派的修行方式，不管是禅宗或者是日本的禅，或者是西藏的藏传的佛法，这是一个趋向，就是各宗派的教佛教的教各宗派的佛教都开始以用这个原始佛教的教义来衬托他们特别的不同的宗派。那师父也不是也在早期也有用这个方法开始把原始佛教的教理介绍然后衬托出禅宗修行的一些方法。
Yet while making good use of these teachings, the practice that Shifu taught and the principles that Shifu emphasized remained very much a direct pointing to the true nature of Chan.
可是不管是怎么样用这个原始佛教的教理，师父通常都是最主要重点是在于直接的怎么样能够以这些把这些教理修行的道理用在直接用在修行的方法还有日常生活上。
So what I hope to do a little bit today is to investigate another of these early Buddhist teachings from a perspective of Chan, And today, well, let me say this. The last time I gave the first part of this talk, we focused somewhat on the Four Noble Truths, really the first two of the Four Noble Truths. And today I'd like to look at the five skandhas, or the five aggregates, as a tool that we can utilize in approaching our practice of chan.
那我今天也是继续像用这个原始佛教的教义来衬托出禅宗修行的方法。那上一次的演讲，我提到的是我的重点是四圣地里面的前二地。那今天我要所讲的是借由这个我们共同来探讨这个五蕴，从这个探讨五蕴的当中来了解禅宗的修行方法。
While the principle of Chan encourages us to directly see or directly experience our true nature, in many of his writings, Master Sheng Yin points out an interesting paradox in this practice. I was teaching a course yesterday, our Dharma 102, the last in a series of six courses. And it's based on Shifu's book, There Is No Suffering, which is commentary on the Heart Sutra. And one of the things he says in there reflects what I've read from him many times before. He says that we cannot directly contemplate when us unenlightened practitioners cannot directly contemplate no self. But what we can contemplate is the nature of the self, the nature of attachment, and from that understanding, we can let go of that self-centered attachment within the mind.
禅宗的各种各不同的教义总结来讲，主要的目标是要教我们如何直指人心。那这个是一个非常非常不容易做到的一个目标。可是呢，师父再再的强调，我们修学禅宗虽然不能够，因为我们不是一个已经开悟的修行者，所以我们能做到的最好的，我们能够尽量做到的就是如何了解自我，然后了解自我的执着，经由这些了解自我和自我的执着，然后一步一步的再放下自我，放下自己的执着，这就是我们还没有开悟的一些禅宗的修行者要努力的方向。
And the five skandhas I feel are a very usefulconceptual tool to help us see and understand this sense of self, this attachment to self, and all the picking and choosing and seeking that we get caught up in around this idea of self.
但借由探讨五蕴呢，我个人认为是一个非常好的方法，能够进一步的了解自我，进一步的了解自我的一种执着，然后怎么样自我对自我和自我执着的一种这种惯性里面看到自己对一些习性上的取舍，这是我个人认为五蕴是一个非常好的启发点，让我们能够进一步的了解自我和自我的执着。
Of course, we think of maybe the five skandhas as an early Buddhist teaching, but they also hold a very central position in a very central Chan teaching, right, as the beginning of the Heart Sutra, where the Bodhisattva Avalokiteshvara is coursing in the deep Prajna Paramita and realizes or understands that the five skandhas are empty, thereby transcending all sufferings.
虽然一般人对于这个修行五蕴来看，以为是就是原始佛教的一些教理，事实上 对于五蕴的了解，对禅宗来讲是一个核心。比如说以心经来说，一开始观自在菩萨行深般若波罗蜜多时，照见五蕴皆空，度一切苦厄。从这里我们可以看到，这个对五蕴的照见，对五蕴的了解是禅宗的核心。
So I suspect most of us are familiar with the five skandhas, but maybe some people not so much. So what I'd like to do today is to look at the individual five skandhas, and discuss the conceptual understanding of what each skandha refers to, how our sense of self, and our sense of craving and seeking around this self is tied up to or related to or dependent upon each of these five skandhas. And then to look at how all five skandhas work together not only to serve as the basis for how we make the mistake of behaving from a position of self, but also how the five skandhas serve as the path of practice and the context of liberation.
接下来就要一个一个的把五蕴跟大家一起探讨。我探讨的几个方向，一个是它基本的教理，这到底在这个就是他的这个教义上，这个五蕴到底是什么啊？第二个呢，就是借由了解这个五蕴呢，我们会知道这个五蕴是如何结合跟我们的这个自我的一个，还有自我的这种认知，自我的一种执着，它是息息相关，而且结合着很非常密切有关的。第三呢，就是要讨论的，就是说五蕴呢怎么样因为这个五蕴而我们所连接起来的一个自我，还有自我的执着，让我们产生一些痛苦，让我们产生一些烦恼。第四个呢，就是经由对于这个五蕴如何让我们产生痛苦烦恼里面呢，我们能够启发我们走出一个怎么样解脱的方法，然后得到能够经由了解这个练习怎样解脱五蕴的这个束缚的一些方法当中来得到自在解脱。
So the five skandhas are form, feeling, perception,volition and consciousness. And there are many different translations in English for some of these terms, and perhaps in Chinese too. But form, feeling, perception, volition and consciousness.
那五蕴呢？五蕴就是色、受、想、行、识。那五蕴的翻译呢，有许多不同种类的翻译，可是最普遍的我们听到的五蕴就是色、受、想、行、识。
And at their most basic level, within the teachings, they describe the entirety of our experience, right? Of what we identify with as self and as other.So within our dualistic perspective of self and other, there is no experience outside of these five skandhas.
最基本的一种通常来解释五蕴呢，是说五蕴所有的我们这个自我的认知完全是在五蕴当中，也就是说除了五蕴以外没有自我。那同时呢，也讲到说，在探讨五蕴的时候呢，也讲到就是说，自我的这个个体跟 外界环境的一些互动的关系，也就是说也讨论到了所谓的二元法。
Self and others includes environment. Yes, that's right. Self and others includes environment is what he refers to.
问题提到的是说自我跟他自我跟自我以外的是不是有包括环境，那答案是对的，自我跟自我以外的东西是包括环境的。
So it's within the context of these five skandhas that we sense and identify ourself, that we seek and avoid and crave and resist, and within these five skandhas, this entirety of our experience, that we suffer, that we experience stress, of course also within which we experience joy and happiness as well.
所以五蕴呢之间就是跟个体还有环境的一些关系是这样子的，就经由这个五蕴呢，我们感受到外界，那经由这个五蕴自我的这个经由这个身体跟外界的触动，而我们产生了自我的一种认知，然后在不断的跟外境的一些互动，抓取或是排挤这样子的一种不断的这个循环的一种关系，我们就产生了所谓自我的观念，同时也因为这样子产生了烦恼，产生了压力，产生了执着。
So the first of the five skandhas, form, refers to material form, right? And this can be our own body. It can be external forms, so the floor, the towel, the chair, the walls, the ceiling, clock.
第一个这个色可以讲的就是说就是一种物质体，那物质里包括呢自己的身体，也包括身体接触的一些环境，比如说墙壁、地，碰到的一些物体的东西。
And our experience of form is constantly present. We can focus perhaps on a method of meditation and we seem to forget aspects of our experience of form. But our contact with form, our experience of form at some subtle level at least, is always present. Even if it's something as direct as the taste in our own mouth, the sense of weight in our body, not to mention the external environment, the temperature, the breeze that hits us, the sense of the solidity of the chair, on our buttocks, our feet on the floor. So this aspect of our experience is always changing, but it's always present.
这个对个体的一种经验呢，也就是说我们身体感受的一些经验是一直而且不断的一直在发生的，比如说我们对身体的一种重量的感受，或是我们身体接触外界的一种感觉，我们比如说我们坐在椅子上，我们这个臀部上的这个重量，对重量的感觉，接触到椅子的这个感觉，这一些感觉，这些经验是一直都不断的发生的，也一直都不断的在改变的。
So I'd like us to take a moment to experience form, to look into how form is shaping or coloring or conditioning our experience right now. So I'd like us all to close our eyes for a moment.
我现在希望大家能够经验一下这个个体跟这个物质体跟环境接触的一些感受，来接触一下，就是感觉到这个形象 还有他的感觉，还有他带给我们的一些经验。所以我希望大家把眼睛闭起来现在，然后身体放轻松，坐好。
And close your eyes and just relax as best you can comfortably on the cushion or the chair.
把眼睛闭起来，身体放轻松，不管是你坐在蒲团上或者椅子上，就很轻松地坐在那里。
And feel yourself present.
就感觉到你自己现在是存在的这个感觉。
And within this experience of yourself being right here, ask yourself, what is form? What is my experience of form right now?
当你感受现在坐在当下坐在这里，这个时候想一想这个问题，什么是色，什么是物质体，然后我个人对这个物质体的经验到底是什么。
Ask yourself, what form am I?
问自己，我是什么一个色相。
Ask yourself, what form right now determines who I am?
问自己，当下这个色体到底是怎么样认定我是谁？
Ask yourself, what experience of form am I grasping, and what experience of form am I rejecting?
问自己，我这个色身的这个感觉是什么样一部分呢？我一直抓着紧紧不放，而又是什么样的一个部分呢？我推得干干净净的。
Ask yourself, is my sense of myself conditioned by form right now?
问自己，我对于这个我的自我的感受是不是息息的取决于我个人对环境的一些经验，当下的经验。
Ask yourself, where does my form end and the environment begin?
问自己这个问题，我的这个色身是跟环境到底是哪一个是起点呢？而哪一个又是末点呢？
Slowly open your eyes.
慢慢地把眼睛张开来。
So what was your experience of form?
我请问大家，对这个色的经验是什么？
Do you identify with form? What form do you identify with? How does form condition your sense of self?
你对这个色能够认知吗？能够认同吗？同时，它这个色的这个物体对你自我的一种认知有怎样的一种关系呢？
Would anybody like to share anything if something?
有没有人想要跟大家分享？
Yes.
Should I speak English or Chinese? Chinese is better.
Sure, whichever you are more comfortable with.
可不可以请你再重复我对这个环境的认知是不是？
就是刚刚这个经验哈，你对于你的感受，对于自我跟对什么是色，然后对这个
跟我的感，跟我自身，我想这个这很多东西，这个 center 这个 room。这些所有的菩萨，这些 chairs， 所有的一切，在我认为这都是物质的嘛。
I guess the question was not very clear.
Did I really understand the questions?
Say what you said if you want. We'll see.
他说这个所有的。
Oh no, in English.
I'm sorry.
English.
Sorry.
She said everything that she's encountered, be it her body, the environment, they all form.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
But she's not quite clear what was the question proposed here.
Is your question asking me what's the form surrounding me? Or how I...
Go ahead.
I want to make sure I totally understand what's your question.
The question was...When we sit in our chairs,
yes,
or on the cushions right now,
yes, the chair is a form, right?
Sure,
yes.
Sure. But when we sit here,
what's my feeling?
We feel that I sit here.
Yes.
Right. And so my question was, as we experience ourself,
yeah, we're
sitting
here, in the chair.
I am
yes.
sitting here.
Yes.
Where does the I and form come together? Where within the experience of I is there the experience of form?
我自己 myself，我自己也是一个色，也是色身
啊。他的问题，他提出的问题是说，刚刚我们
我的
这个经验，他叫你闭起眼睛来感受这个个体坐在这边跟环境的一些互动的一些感受。那在这个感受当中，这个自我这个观念是怎么产生出来的？他是在问这个自我。
这个自我观念
是
怎么产生
出来的？是，
就是
说你的身体，这个身体是坐在椅子上的，
对，
可是这个观念，这个观念就是说我的身体坐在这个我的身体，这个
不是你的意识吗？这个观念是怎么产
生出来
的？这不是你的意识吗？
She said, isn't that the sense of self came from consciousness?
如果你直接问我的话，如果我现在 fully understand, okay, I want to make sure I'm fully understand the question.如果你现在再解释 ，after you 解释再一次，这个色身，我为什么觉得我这个色身坐在这里？从 where do I get the feeling? Okay, 这不都是你的 thoughts, 你的想法吗？你的意识吗？是不是这样子？要不然我怎么知道？我如果没有这个意识的话，我怎么会知道我有一个这个色身在这里呢
？She say the sense of self while sitting here.Came from the consciousness. Without that, I would not know.
如果我没有意对，是不是
？Without the sense of consciousness, without the conscious sense, I wouldn't know I was sitting here.
色，我想行识。So.
How do you say consciousness?
是。The last. That's
consciousness.
That's true. Without consciousness, you would not have the sense of self. But
所有的，我觉得这五个都是有关系的。说不定另外一位菩萨可以回答他的想法，我可以再 understand 一点 better. You know, I truly want to understand.
She said not to
hear another answer from someone else. Thank you.
Hi. I felt the warmness of my body, the coolness of the chair, and the fatness of my stomach.
That's it.
His explanation, I think I understand.
There's a couple of things that I thought might come out of this. One was what he mentioned, and one what you have drawn from what he mentioned. What the gentleman mentioned is a couple of points. One is that the first thing that we usually identify with to form when we think about ourselves is the body. And the feelings, sensations, the characteristics of the body. So initially he said the warmth of the body. I am warm, my body is warm. But he also felt the coolness of the chair, right? And so the experience of what we think of as environment is not outside of our experience of self. It is not something that we objectively, coldly observe. It directly influences the feelings, thoughts, responses, and actions of the self. So not only the body that we really identify as who we are at the grossest level, but the feeling of touch with objects, the sounds, what we see, what we hear, what we taste, all directly feeds into and influences ourself. Right? But the other thing is that what you've gotten to here with the idea of consciousness and the feeling. Oh, and also the I almost forgot the part of my felt that my belly is fat, right? So within this experience of form, this is something that was very important in the Buddha's teachings on the five skandhas and form, was that it's not only the identification within this idea of form as what is me and the conditioned nature of ourself in relation to the environment, but it's very much around our experience of form that we crave and resist, that we seek for pleasure, existence, and non-existence. And so this idea of I experienced my belly as fat, I experience sometimes that. And it's associated with a sense of I don't really like that usually. And so within form, we not only are experiencing and attaching to this idea of self, but within form, we also respond by seeking and having aversion, seeking and having aversion within this experience of form. So the point is that form, as the Buddha wanted us to see, is one aspect of our experience that we very easily get caught up in around this idea of self and our actions of grasping and resisting, which is the source of our suffering. But the second part is what I wanted to hope somebody would bring up, and you did, is that we cannot experience form but through the mind, but through feeling and perception and consciousness. And very often we throw volition in to continue even more so our idea of self. So you're right, without consciousness, there's no idea of self. But without feeling or perception or form, there's also no idea of self. Consciousness has to be conscious of something. But the five skandhas together, all five, create, or I shouldn't say create, are a way of explaining our experience. They cannot be separated from each other experientially. But conceptually, we can look at them individually as a way to investigate and understand our experience, our self-attachment, how we cause our suffering. And when we understand that, then we know where we can let go within our experience of self-attachment and the cause of suffering. Maybe better translate, I forgot.
I'll try my best.
And then we'll let Bill say something.
就刚刚那位先生提到了，就是说他第一个感觉就是身体暖暖的，接着就是椅子冷冷的，再就是他的肚子胖胖的。这整个三个这个过程就是很明显的，他提到的第一个就是他身体的一种感受，所谓的暖暖的这种感受，哦，这就是通常一般人他的身体对外界接触第一个感受就是一种身体的一种感受，再来就是对环境的接触以后他的一种感知，那就是椅子冷冷的这种感觉。那再接下来呢，那就是因为对于这个身体的接触，身体内在跟外在的一些接触的感受呢，它就产生了一种好的感受，一种坏的感受，一种对自我的一种印象，自我的一种喜或者是不喜，这种一种认知就产生出来了。比如说他感知到自己的肚子胖胖的，这种是有一种好像一种负面对自己身体负面的一种印象，这种影像啊，我们也就是所谓就是我们身体跟外界接触以后，我们不断的这样子循环而产生对自我这种经验的一种认知。那第二部分谈到的就是刚刚你说到这个世，就是第五蕴，就是世蕴。这个呢，如果没有世蕴的话，我们没有自我的，没有这个所谓的我，所以这个五蕴的这个色受想行识是共同的解释出对我们这所谓自我对环境经是个体跟环境经验的这个运作，还有这个习气的产生、执着产生的一种整体的一个解释。
Bill?
I just want to reiterate a couple of things of it. You will not experience form unless the other skandhas are activated too. Because what you actually experience when you say, I'm feeling, I'm feeling my feet on the floor. So you could say that's feeling a form. The floor is a physical agent, physical object. It is outside of myself as we normally think of it, right? And I have this feeling. But what does that mean? That means that the way it works is the contact has to be made between the sense organs and the environment. When that contact is made, a sensation arises. The second skanda is activated, right? So I feel something because I'm conscious, I'm alert, I feel something, right? Now notice, if a person is completely unconscious, they've been knocked over the head or they've some drug or something, they're just completely unconscious lying on the ground, they do not experience form because they're unconscious. They can't experience anything, right? In the sense that Buddhism talks about it. But let's assume that's not the case. It's a normal person, alert, awake, walking along, feeling his or her feet pushing against the ground as he or she walks. That feeling only occurs after contact is made between the foot and the earth, which then sends an impulse up into the brain, which produces a sensation, the second skanda, right? And then very quickly, after the sensation is there, the perception skanda kicks in and classifies what the thing is. So the person's walking along, and the person feels this sensation, and very, very quickly, within, you know, it's like within nanoseconds, extremely quickly, they say, oh, that's the feeling of my feet against the earth. I'm feeling my feet pushing against the earth. They classify it. That's the perception thing, right? And then, but then, right, that's when the consciousness of what's going on can actually arise, some sort of sense of what that is. Now, I think that the thing that I think the teaching's about, the five skandhas is about, is when you look at that process, where do you see a separate and distinct self? That is to say, you know, the way I understand it is the Buddha taught, this teaching of the five skandhas is designed to help people break down their own experience. See, what are you actually experiencing? And then when they've done that, they realize that they don't see anywhere in there a self which is like the self that people tend to believe they have, which is a self that is permanent and a self which is not affected by causes and conditions. That is to say, which doesn't change when the environment changes. If you actually look and watch what goes on with this process, you will discover that you can't find a self like that. It isn't there, right? I mean, because everything is changing all the time, right? Everything, right? It's this process sort of bubbling along. Say, where is this permanent thing? It's not there.
辩菩萨他讲的就是说，这个五蕴。 其实是一起在运作的，比如说，当你脚接触到地，第一者这个接触，你这个色身接触到外界环境，然后呢，你就有感知，那经由感知以后呢，你的慢慢这个五蕴这个一步一步的就继续发生出来。那最主要的，这个五蕴在用五蕴来解释。 自我的经验，重点是说，你如果把这个五蕴一运一运的这样子扯开来解释，你无法找到一个运是说自我这一运的，也就是说自我其实不在这个，你如果把五蕴分开来是不存在的，那这个是佛教佛法的重点。
Quickly.
I'll do it. Okay. Hello. So one of the things that I think is very interesting, when you do this exercise of experiencing various things and noticing the environment, you don't normally have the thought, I am sitting, I am doing X, Y, Z. That's kind of extraneous. And it's obviously true in Buddhist teaching that there is no self. But there certainly is an operative self, an operative false self, and any of the when you get these impressions, these feelings, and think of something as the floor or my leg or whatever, that in and of itself, that distinction, and that sense of duality, that is the self, the false self.
虽然就是说，当我们刚刚在做这个体验这个整个这个练习，所谓的这个色蕴体，我们在体验色蕴这个整个这个几分钟的练习当下呢，当我们坐着时候呢，我们不会有一种感觉，有一种认知，就是说，哦，我坐在这里，我们会很清楚的感觉自己身体的一些感受。可是事实上，当我们在感受身体的这些冷或是硬的这些感受的当下呢，其实自我已经在那里了。Yeah,
that's right. What Harry was saying is that it's the sense of self, right? But when that's there, we don't usually, well, it's interesting, we don't usually walk around, there is actually a contradiction there, we don't usually walk around focusing on this idea of I am, I am, I am. But as we become more sensitive, that sense of I am is very much present. And what Chan says is to drop that I am, to drop the I, let go of the I, right? Shifu would say, just do the task at hand without putting the self in it, right? Without putting the self in it. Well, what does that mean? How do I not put the self in it? And this is where the use of some of these early Buddhist teachings can be useful, because before we can not put the self in it, we have to understand how we are putting the self in it, which means we have to understand where within our experience there is a grasping to that experience as self. And that experience that we, well, I shouldn't even say we, that the mind grasps to as self is a combination of form, feeling, perception, volition, and consciousness. And so, like was brought up, this idea of the body, of warmth and cold, right, of feeling of a chair, as regards to form, we can find within our experience that there are these ideas of these objects that our self attaches to. Now, the five skandhas are in that order of form first, and I actually realized it was going to be a little rough starting with form, because it's actually experienced very intimately through the mental components of our experience. But I figured we better just start with number one. So, but it brings us to that point very directly, because some people will argue that the form skandha cannot be directly experienced other than through the mind. And I think that's right, because these five skandhas really can't be separated out experientially, and they're not meant to. But we can use them as contemplative, investigative tools in order to understand the self-grasping in the mind and to give us a position where we can let go of, where we can unattach within that experience of the five skandhas.
没有错，一般的人如果走在街上不会想到说哦，我走在街上，或是一般人做什么事情呢，不会说哦，我现在做这个事情。可是当你禅修进到一个比较深入的一个阶段的时候呢，你这个自我的这种认知，自我的一种这种灵敏性哈、哦，这种灵敏性的警度，就是说对自我的一种执着，对自我环境的一些接触，啊、哦，就会变得比较敏锐。你就会、很多的时间里，你都会发现啊、哦，这个我的这个力量，我的这个习气，其实是非常的重，非常的根深蒂固的。那禅宗呢，师父常常说，我们修禅就是要放掉自我。那他也教我们，就是说当我们在做任何事的一种任何的工作里呢，就做这个事情，而不要把这个我放进去。可是对我们一般这个修行的人呢，怎么样能够做到师父所说的那个地步呢？那是不容易的。所以我们最基本的，我们要先了解我们怎么样对这个自我是怎么产生出来的，而自我的习气和执着是怎么样产生出来的。那所以说研究这个五蕴，研究这个原始佛教对五蕴的这个深入的解释，是对我们非常有的帮助。因为只有对自我的这个习气，自我的这个执着有更深入的了解以后呢，才知道怎么样把它放掉，怎么样对于这种环境的这种抓取啊，这个推弃这种 各种这种习气的运作呢，才能够一点一点的放掉它。
And like any of the Buddha's teachings, he picked five terms to describe all human experience in this particular teaching, five terms. So clearly there are things around those terms that aren't directly covered, right? For example, the feeling when we touch something, right? We say feeling, oh, I feel the table. But in the Buddhist teaching of the five skandhas, feeling isn't the kind of consciousness, maybe it's more consciousness of the table. A feeling in the five skandhas, the second skandha, refers to the, as Master Yin Shun put it, the emotional color or the emotional aspect of contact through the senses. And so the second skandha is feeling of pleasure or displeasure, or neither pleasure or displeasure. So when the Buddha says, wow, this we identify with and do a lot of seeking and craving and resisting and suffering around feeling, what he's saying is that when we are in contact through the eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body, mind, as soon as we contact anything through these senses, which is always happening, there is an associated feeling of pleasantness, unpleasantness, or neutrality.
用五蕴这些原理来解释个人还有自我形成还有自我对环境的一些经验是一种方法其实用很佛教对于这个自我还有自我执着用很多其他的方式来解释那五蕴的第二蕴是受蕴受蕴呢就是我们身体对外处的感接触以后产生的情绪上的一些认知情绪上的认知呢让我们有三方面的一种认知一个是喜欢第二个是不喜欢第三个是一种中性的这种情绪上的认知那因为我们会产生个体对于这个环境接触以后产生这三方面的一种认知呢我们就会产生痛苦的经验或是一些烦恼的一些骚扰
This isn't the thought oh that's unpleasant right this isn't the thought ah that feels good right this is pre-thought it is an emotive feeling almost instinctive feeling a response so if we are sitting here and the smell of food wafts up from the basement and we smell that food before we even think food before we think I smell food there's a feeling of pleasantness a feeling of attraction to that smell. If we're walking down the street and we turn a corner and suddenly there's dog poop on the sidewalk, there is an immediate pre-thought experience of kind of repulsion, displeasure, unpleasantness. Then we think, oh, it's dog poop, that's disgusting. When we all walked into the Chan Center today, we all came through the front door. We were all aware of the frame of the door, but it probably didn't register as pleasant or unpleasant. It was neither pleasant nor unpleasant. So a neutral emotional response to sensory input. So some things strike us very strongly, some things very weakly, some pleasurable, some unpleasurable, but this response arises before we even think about what it is that we are experiencing.
在这里要提到的就是说我们这种情绪上的这种感知是在认识这种在想法产生之前的一种就是一种非常快的一种感受比如说你走在街上看到一团这狗屎 你还没有就是马上你的身体的就起了一种一种感觉，就是很讨厌这个讨厌的这种感觉就升起了。那其他的例子，比如说今天你走进这个禅中心，在你进来之前你一定是看到了这个禅中心的门，然后走进来，那这个门对你来讲呢没有什么喜欢不喜欢的感知，所以你产生的这种就是一种就是中性的一种感知。所以这样子我们所谓的这个我们的这个身体跟外界外处接触这种情绪上的启发产生的这些感觉呢，是在想法还没有起来之前，认知还没起来之前就已经产生了。然后产生以后的感觉有才说啊，前面一个狗屎，要不要踩到它。
The third skanda is perceptions. And this is the thinking, the labeling, the symbolizing, the describing, the stories and narratives that explain the experience.
Right. 第三个行运，色受想想运。想运呢是贴标签、形容、想法，对这个接触这种经验的解释，还有叙说一个故事。
So when there's contact, which is through the five senses or the mind, there is this sensation of pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. That colors how we think about the experience. Right? So this idea that Bill brought up, that you can't separate these processes out, and you can see them as something of a sequence of events. So perception is the descriptive process of the mind, right? That says, that's the smell of them cooking downstairs. I like that. I've eaten here so many times and they always cook great food here at the Chan Center. This is perceptions, the stories that occur in the mind about our experience.
所以这一个第三运呢，就是当我们接触我们身体接触环境产生这种情绪上的感知，然后呢我们就开始对这感知来加颜色，来描述它，来描述它对这个是怎样的一个经验。然后呢就像刚刚Bill菩萨说的，这系列的这些活动是不可分开的，同时你可以用这种好像这个一步一步的这种这种过程用过程的方法来解释它。也就是说这一运呢是我们贴了标签说这个经验刚刚发生的经验是我喜欢的经验，或是我不喜欢，或是一个中性的经验。好，那比如说我们闻到楼下做的这个午饭那我们闻到以后很香，马上就会感受就这种经验我们以前也吃过这个午饭，每次都是很好吃，我们就开始制造这样子这个头脑就开始制造这样子这种故事在我们又重新再演一遍。
So these feelings and thoughts, I want to talk about them somewhat together because they're a little hard to untangle. And we identify with how we feel, right? And there tends to be patterns in how we feel about certain things. What is it that triggers an unpleasant feeling or a pleasant feeling in us? Because something that may appear unpleasant, make me feel unpleasant, may give rise to a pleasurable feeling in somebody else, right? Most things are somewhat general in the human race, but there are things that that people respond to differently. And it's somewhat of a cycle, because how we feel that pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral response is determined by our underlying views. Right? Kind of, we could say our subconscious views, our underlying views, as to what is good and what is bad, what is useful for the self, what is bad for the self. Right? And yet at the same time, when we feel pleasant, the mind gives rise to certain kinds of positive stories, and it wants to get, it kind of drives a craving or a desire or an attraction for the object, and we think about that object in certain ways that strengthens the views, the underlying views that we hold, such that next time we run into that object again, it is pleasant feeling that arises. So this something of a cycle of how we perceive and think about and attach the self to these ideas as to how we respond to what kind of feeling arises.
这个受蕴跟享蕴是很难把它分开来的。比如说我们 看认到一样东西，接触身体接触到一样东西，借由我们的感官就产生了一些感受。那这个感受呢，事实上会形成一种模式。我们会对某些东西呢，当我们接触到某些东西呢，我们会产生一种定性的一种感觉，喜欢不喜欢，或是没有什么喜欢或不喜欢的感觉。那 这样子的一种活动呢，是一种循环式的，就是一种像一种，就是一直这样子循环接触，然后同样类似的东西产生一种模式呢，也会产生同样相似的一种感知。那经由这样子的一种活动，这个身体跟环境，还有这个头脑这个看法想法产生的这些模式以后呢，我们对于这个自我呢， 还有对自我接触的不同的环境的一种定性的感受呢，就更加深了我们对于自我的这种执着，还有自我的这种感受，这个执着这种自我的这种印象呢，就更加深了。所以这一系列的这样子，就是一直不断的在这样循环，然后更对自我的这种 这种认知，自我的这种经验的认知，就更再加深的，再加了他的这个更深的一个印象。This
is a very interesting point about the human experience, because there are parts that are a cycle like this. For example, when we see a certain person, there are people who we feel immediate pleasure to see. And there are probably people who we feel an immediate displeasure to see. But I think we can all agree that we can change how we feel about those people. We can use the practice to understand our relationship with those people differently, so that people who we don't like and we feel unpleasant to be around, we can adjust our attitude and understanding so that we don't feel unpleasant, that we don't feel even that initial feeling of displeasure when we experience that person. Now, if you feel pleasant to be around somebody, I don't suggest changing that. But we can make that change. Yet there are other aspects of our experience that are outside of this cycle. If you put your hand on a hot burner, the experience is unpleasant. Right? That, I do not believe a person can change. Right? So there are aspects of our experience that are not caught up with our attachment to self. But we create this cyclical aspect of the experience where we color parts of our experience that don't need to be pleasant or unpleasant, that don't need to lead to seeking or resisting, right? Because of our attachment to self within that experience.
提到这个人, 我们对于这个, 这个我们的经验的产生, 是一种循环式的一种产生, 这个, 比如说, 我们个, 每一个人都有这种经验, 我们看到一些人呢, 马上就产生一种很欢悦的一种感受, 那同时呢, 看到一些人呢, 马上会产生一种讨厌的这种情绪上的感受, 那这些呢, 我们也都知道, 其实我们如果经, 我们修行佛法以后呢, 我们这样子, 直觉式的一种感知呢, 可以慢慢的, 我们可以改变我们个人的一种, 态度, 个人的, 这种, 习性, 我们会慢慢的对这种一下子产生这种对某些人讨厌的这种感知, 慢慢我们可以用修行的方式, 把它转化过来。 那这些呢, 那有些感知呢, 比如说是我们是没办法改变, 比如说我们手碰到一些很烫的这些, 炉子, 马上我们的手会拿开来, 这种就是一种跟这个就是说, 跟我刚刚看到什么人喜欢的这个, 喜欢或者不喜欢这个是不同的经验, 那重点就是说, 当我们的身体接触到外界环境, 的时候呢, 我们产生的一些经验, 经验的这个, 祥运呢, 我就会开始编故事, 然后会加深我们自我的印象, 加深我们自我的习气, 还有这些执着, 这种是一种循环的这种活动, 身心的一种活动呢, 其实可以用修行的方式来, 来把它转化, 把它疏解。
So the practice of Chan says, put down the self and break that cycle. Break the cycle of turning what is a free-flowing, unattached, non-self experience into an experience of picking and choosing and self, colored perspective of the world. And it's the fourth skanda that is the kind of linchpin, you could say, of this practice. And the fourth skanda is volition, or action. Right? It's volition, or action, that turns the thoughts that arise in our mind from being just sensory objects, additional sensory objects, just like sights, sounds, smells, and tastes. It's volition that turns feeling and thoughts into fuel for a continued self-experience.
Right. 那我们修行禅宗, 修行佛法的目标呢? 就是要让我们这种一直循环的这种习气，加深我们自我的执着的这种循环的这种身心的活动呢，让我们更深入借由修行把它断掉，把它放下对这自我的这些执着。那在这个五蕴里面呢，第四蕴。 就有提到，就是行运。那这一运，行运呢，是一种对于这种不断的这种自我循环产生坚固，然后执着循环呢，做一个就让它能够断掉，或是让它能够放下的这个工作。也就是说。 当我们的身体跟外界接触的时候呢, 我们又开始产生这样子不断的这种惯性的循环以后呢，那借由这个佛了解这佛法的道理，然后修行的方法，让我们呢看到自己这种习气啊，这样子的转化，然后慢慢的把它一点一点的转化来放下来，这就是行运的工作。
So just like we identify with form, like was brought up, I think more directly, we identify with feeling and thoughts. Right? I feel this way. I think this way. Right? We are defined by the narrative, by the stories in our minds. Right? So thinking is really perhaps for most people, the skanda that we directly identify with perhaps most, right? And this fourth skanda, volition, is the component of that thinking process that takes a descriptive, purely conceptual component of the mind and turns it into action. Right. So volition, for example, is the thought, I will go inside and get a scoop to clean the dog poop off the sidewalk. Or I will make sure that I take lots of food downstairs today because it really smells delicious. It is I will, I am going to, I won't, I will not. Right? It is an action. It is thoughts that drive action. And this is where the sense of self, you could almost say, resides in the five skandhas. Right? Because the action is, well, it's where we really stick the self into the process. It's, I will do this. Right, I will avoid that. Right, and so when we decide to act, or there is a sense of the self responding to something, that gives strength to all of what we have identified with up to that point of response. It feeds that identity back into the cycle. So we often hear the teaching that that fourth skanda, that volition or sankhara, is where the karma is created that perpetuates this cycle of self-identification. It's where the power of that self-identity is maintained, is the shift from awareness to action around the idea of self.
行运呢，它可以说是把前三运的各种经验呢，在做，等于是一个，它把它做出一个行动。什么样的行动呢？就是比如说你身体跟外界接触以后产生的一些感知认知，在这个时候只是一个认知和感知，可是这一运行运呢，会把这一些经验呢做出一个决定来。那怎么样一个决定呢？比如说你前面看到的狗屎你不喜欢，这是一个感知的经验。哎，你下一步行运呢，你可以做种种啊，有各种不同的这个决策，你可以决定。比如说你到房间里去拿一个铲子吧，出来以后把这狗屎都清理掉，这是一个方式。或者是呢，你说我都不喜欢啊，我就是不去管它，哦，这也是一个方式。也就是说这个行运呢，是经把你前面的这些经验啊，可以做一个活动，做一个行为啊，去要做什么，或是把这个经这个各种的这个感知的经验呢啊，做出一个行为呢，这也就是一种业力的一种业的产生 所以说这个行运对五运来讲呢是一个非常重要的一运，因为今这个运呢，因为你的对自我的一个这个下一步的活动要怎么做啊，来取决于你啊是不是在对自我的执着认知更深蒂固的再加深呢，或是或做一些借由佛法的这个修行方式把它转化它呢，都是经由这一运而发生的。
So it's very interesting, Shifu's teaching of just do the task at hand, but don't put the self in it. It seems so simple. Just do the task at hand, but don't put the self in it. But actually it points right to the crux of the issue, right? Volition. To do the task at hand, to do the action,without attaching to self, without putting the self in it. That's the hardest part. We can use our method with intention, whether it's reciting Buddha's name, reciting Bodhisattva's name, Huato, silent illumination, following the breath, walking meditation. We can use the method with intention and observe the non-self natureof our experience of form. We can observe the non-self nature of feeling, arising and passing, arising and passing. We can observe the arising of wandering thoughts and how they move by and flow, however simple or complex they are. They change, they're influenced by the environment, they're just this moving flow of information. They aren't a permanent self.But the intention to practice, the intention to see that this is not self, is kind of the last frontier of the method of practice. Because who is practicing for enlightenment? Who is letting go of the self? The self? Right. It is the doing.The volition within our experience, that if you can untie the self from that, then we can truly understand Shifu's teachings.
当师父说，我们在做任何事的时候，就是去做它，不要把我放进去。这个听起来好像很简单。事实上非常的不容易，比如说我们在修行各种方法当下的时候呢，数息的方法或是念佛的方法或者是话头默照各种禅宗我们所学的一些方法，当我们在修行的时候呢，我们到底的动机，我们的目的是不是很清楚呢？那我们是不是因为我们在修行当中是到底是为了要开悟才在修行呢？这一点一些问题要很清楚的要知道它。那在这个过程当中呢，就是在转我们这个行运，让我们的行运呢能够帮助我们对于这个过去在还有不认识佛法还没有修行之前呢，对于自我的这种坚固还有自我习气的这些巩固的这些这种各种一直在循环的这些习气上呢，做一些态度还有这种观念上的转化，这就是我们借行运然后把前三运慢慢转化的一些过程方法。
So this is why Shifu tells us to use our method without seeking anything. Much easier said than done. But it's also I think something very refreshing about the practice. Because sometimes people think, well, if there's no self-attachment in experience, what happens? Nothing happens. Right? But the five skandhas, the fifth of which is consciousness, and I'm not going to say a lot about consciousness, it's the knowing of experience, right? The awareness of experience. It says that the five skandhas are not only where we have experienced self-attachment and suffering, and not only are they where we can do the practice, the work of the practice, to untie that self-attachment from experience, but they are also what's left when we let go of self-attachment. They are the task at hand. Right? The body performing the task at hand, either eating or cooking or walking or writing, driving, whatever it might be. So the five skandhas, as a early teaching, were the five skandhas affected by clinging, which is a way of saying the five skandhas infected by self-attachment. But from a Chan perspective, which does not distinguish between samsara, the early view of the five skandhas, and nirvana, the five skandhas are enlightenment. Right? The five skandhas are the function of wisdom. It's through the five skandhas that the bodhisattva delivers sentient beings. It's just that the bodhisattva, Avalokiteshvara, realizes that the five skandhas are empty of self.
所以师父常常鼓励我们，当我们在用方法的时候呢，就用方法，不要求什么，不要想要取到什么，这个是不容易的。 因为我们一般凡夫做什么事总是因为要求到什么才去做，那我们用借由五蕴的认知，然后借由修行的方法，一点一点的转化我们这些习气，转化我们对于这个身体环境这些产生的一些烦恼啊，还有解脱。 事实上，当我们解脱以后，我们还是借用这个五蕴来跟这个环境互动。那当我们解脱了以后呢，也就是说，当我们已经放下这个自我中心的执着，啊，然后能够借用这个五蕴来度其他痛苦的众生。 这些众生还在这个烦恼当下，那禅宗提到烦恼跟菩提没有分开来的，也就是说，当我们还执着自我，还有这个常常还没有解脱之前呢，我们这个五蕴是被我们的习气啊错误的认知而染着了。那当我们 开悟了以后呢，我们很清楚的知道，事情还是有，可是没有这个自我在里面。这个时候，我们可以用五蕴啊，然后用我们智慧，等于是用我们智慧的一些功能来度一些需要我们度的众生。
So in our normal day-to-day experience, the five skandhas are where we suffer. But we can't seek anything outside of them. Liberation is not beyond the five skandhas. It's not outside of ourself, as we say. But when we can let go of self-centeredness, then just like we say that transforms consciousness into wisdom, it transforms the five skandhas into wisdom and compassion through expedient means.
当我们一般人还没有 接触佛法有修行的时候，五蕴是在给我们，我们的痛苦也是都是经由五蕴而产生出来的。在五蕴之外呢，是没有办法找到所谓的什么痛苦这样东西的。那我们经由修学佛法，然后练习佛法教我们的一些方法以后呢，我们得到了解脱。那我们解脱以后呢，也没有超过这个五蕴活动之中。所不同的呢，就是说当我们解脱了以后呢，我们是解脱了，放下了这个自我中心。当我们把这个自我中心放下以后呢，那我们那个五蕴呢，只是智慧的一些它的活动啊，我们就是啊借由这个五蕴呢来帮助其他的众生，让他们也能够得解脱。
南无阿弥陀佛，
感谢大家。